Hello, welcome to Movie Humpers. Konnichiwa. My name is Bob Sham.
I'm Angela.
The sounds here may be dogs. And yes, we're nearing the end. What do I call this month? The left-hand endeavor. Yes, that's what I call it. And it is Thursday and our final week. So we have a foreign, well, you know, it's weird to call them foreign films because filmmaking's a world, man, right? So non-English speaking film noir.
Yes.
Is what we're talking about every Thursday. We went to Germany, we went to France, we went to Italy, and now we go to the land of the rising sun. Japan, or as that guy on the Shogun show goes, the J-Pans. We're discussing our first Akira Kurosawa movie.
Yes.
Now the samurai stuff is his most popular. But Kurosawa made a lot of movies, and this one we're talking about, it's a simple story. A simple Yakuza tragedy.
Yes.
It is called Drunken Angel from 1948, and it is starring Takashi Shimura and the iconic Toshiro Mifune. A young-looking Toshiro Mifune.
Yes.
You know, I think we're used to seeing him in all the samurai movies, and he seems grittier, a little more grown. He seems so young in this one. Toshiro Mifune, he plays a young Yakuza gangster by the name of Matsunaga, and he has this doctor by the name of Sanada, who is played by Takashi Shimura. He walks into this joint to this doctor. He's hammered. And the doctor also drinks quite a bit. They're both a couple of drunks. But the doctor specializes in treating tuberculosis. Which I get is something that is mostly well-treated and mostly eradicated in terms of common ailments.
Yes, but he doesn't go there because he has a cough. That's part of the conversation. He goes there because he has a bullet in his hand. He tried to say he slammed his hand in the door. And the doctor was like, really? And he's like digging at this like puncture. And then he pulls out the guy said, there was a nail stuck in the door. And then he pulls out a bullet and says something along the lines of, never seen a nail that looked like this before. It's very funny. And then he starts coughing. And that doctor's like, you probably got TB.
Yeah, he's like, I can treat this. I know what's going on. But
you have to take care of yourself and get an x-ray.
But tuberculosis, when you're around people with it for a long time, it increases the odds of getting it. It's like a bacteria. Like a disease in the lungs. So it's definitely a much more serious disease, especially around this time in post-war Japan. But it also, it takes a long time to recover from.
Yes.
It's a silent killer. You can be carrying it before you start showing signs of it.
Yeah, by the time you're coughing and have a fever, it's very far gone. He talks to him about, and I love this, the evil bacteria inside of him is what you're actually fighting. He's like, you know, your lungs you might be coughing, but it's the bacteria that is growing inside of you that you have to fight.
Yeah. And so this guy doesn't want to hear it. He, in order to treat tuberculosis, this guy's going to have to do, he's going to have to stop doing everything he wants to do for months at a time to fully recover.
No smoking, no drinking, no women.
Yes.
Get sleep.
Lay down.
Stop fighting.
But this guy's a gangster. He was granted this clique, this gangster faction, after this other guy named Okada went to prison for a few years. And it just so happens that a woman that works with Dr. Sanada used to be Okada's girl, and she was glad to get away from him. She was glad he got locked up. So she came and she helps with the doctor in a life that she much prefers. She's afraid of this guy getting out.
It's interesting, though, because she's afraid of the guy getting out and she's essentially hiding out there. And the gangsters, as they come in and out, will say to her, like, you look familiar. Where do I know you from? Even our main character says to her, why do I know your face? And she's always like, oh, no. But if she's that afraid of him, why is she staying in the town that he used to run? Maybe she can't get out of the town. This is an interesting, dirty little town with like a swamp right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I don't think we have I don't think it ever even names the town.
No, I don't recall.
But it is presented as the most disgusting little. It's probably like some ass end of Tokyo or some shit like that. And the whole everything, all this world of gangsterism and drunk ass doctors is occurring around this, like, I wouldn't even call it a pond. It's like
they call it a swamp at one point.
It's like a wet mud hole in the center of everything.
Huge, though.
When characters are reflecting on what's going on and what they need to deal with, they'll just find themselves staring at this mud hole. Like, this whole little area they live in is probably one of the most disgusting looking places we've seen, like, all month long.
People are dumping garbage in it. Sometimes when they're sad, they'll look down and they'll see a specific thing, like a doll or a shoe, you know. And at one point, these children are playing in the water and the doctor, who is the drunken angel, because he's drunk and he's not nice, but he's trying to help everyone.
Well, he's by the end, he might not be the only drunken angel, you know.
This is true. But at some point he does say, when he goes to Okada to be, or not Okada, what's our main character's name? Dr. Sonata and?
Matsunaga.
He goes to him and he says, hey, I'm here to help you. I'm an angel. Like, angels don't always look the way you think they will, kind of deal. Like, he's trying to say, like, I'm here to save you. You gotta fucking listen to me. But he runs out and he's yelling at these children who are playing in the water. And he pulls this one kid and he's like, you came in last week to see me because you had a cough. This water is going to make you sick. Why are you out here?
Yeah.
Like, but he's just screaming.
And he's literally running around the mud hole to go, like, attack the children and chase them away.
But he genuinely cares. And even,
Total cranky asshole.
Oh, yeah. The only people he's genuinely nice to is the woman who lives with him, except when she talks about Okada, he gets real mad real fast because he's like, you never are going to go back to that man. Even if he gets out, you're never going back to him.
I wish my doctor was like this. Like, truly.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not the alcoholism, but I mean, he's
functioning. But the telling it to you real straight.
Yeah, like, yeah. And getting really livid mad at you if you're not doing things the right way.
The one patient that he's so sweet to is this high school girl. She's like 16, I think. And she has tuberculosis, and he's been working with her for a long time, and she's getting better. His proud moment when she's around, you know?
Yeah.
I love their relationship because at one point he's looking at her x-rays because she brings him x-rays, can't get the other guy to. And he's looking at, and he says, you're doing so much better. And she says to him, well, next time I come see you, I'm going to be even better. And I bet you a sweet.
Yeah.
That I'm going to be better.
This doctor probably not great for mental health. He'll stress you out.
No, not at all.
He'll literally throw things at you if you don't do what he tells you to do.
Oh, yeah. He throws things all the time at Yakuza leader.
And he goes and meets him at some point just to drink. And he's like still trying to. But the Yakuza guy, he really respects him. But he doesn't want him to be totally around because it's going to. Eventually, his tuberculosis is going to come up. It's like he's trying to be in denial about it. He'll go and get treated, and then he'll go out, and then just, he'll try for a little bit, and then just end up, like, drinking all fucking night. Yeah. Which just sets him back, like, to square one.
And he smokes cigarettes, and he'll start coughing as soon as he does that. And he's always at, like, the dance hall. And he has, like, the most beautiful girl on his arm. And he's the leader of everything, and he's walking around in his big suit, and everyone's following him around. And then all of a sudden, he just starts, like, declining.
The culture that they like to weave themselves in and out of is very Western.
Mm-hmm.
The Yakuza, they love that kind of, like, the Western music, the blues, the jazz. There's a kid that's, like, trying to play, like, Spanish guitar out by the mud hole late at night. And when Okada, the guy that the lady does not want to get out of prison.
The old boss.
When he comes out, this old man approaches the kid playing the guitar.
Nande? Kaishite mi no? Nande to? Kaishite mi no?
And the kid is like playing kind of rudimentary. You can tell he knows what he's doing, but he's still learning.
He's practicing.
And he picks this thing up and he plays. And Okada is able to play all the layered notes. And the lady hears it, and she knows that Okada, she knows he's good at guitar, and she knows that Okada is out of prison.
And she starts to, and she even says to the doctor, like, well, maybe I should try with him. And he truly is like, you are an idiot.
Yeah.
Stop acting. At one point he tells her, stop acting like a slave. He does not own you.
This doctor is so ready to bring everyone into modernity here. He's actually kind of countering, he argues with these women to just let go of this fucking, and these feudal concepts of all types, from like the feudal idea of blind loyalty to a gangster leader, to these women feeling compelled to just be demure little Japanese women and run back to their men. This doctor is like, what about equal rights? Just stop. And like this, but also there's some traditional aspects that the doctor benefits from, because when these gangsters come out and Matsunaga's like falling out after they bring him to him one night, and this doctor is, he knows that they're Yakuza, he knows they're Yakuza, he knows they're dangerous, and he's just insulting the fuck out of them and just calling them stupid. And I think this is a part of like the Japanese culture of giving sway to like the elderly folk in their life, or especially
And because of his job.
And his job, mm-hmm. his age, and his status as a doctor, he's important. So this guy gets away with, like, insulting gangsters right to their face.
Absolutely. This is a feminist movie. Sisters are doing it
for themselves. For Japan at this time, this might be the most Dr. feminist
Sonata
movie.
Dr. Sonata is a feminist.
So, they have to drag. So, Okada gets Matsunaga. He's always like the worst influence. Matsunaga's trying, but. But Okada is always getting him fucking drunk and wasted. And one day, he's just coughing up fucking blood and shit. They're having to bring him to the doctor.
In the middle of the night.
And the doctor kind of knows enough to not be like, oh, he has tuberculosis, because he understands the stigma. But he sees himself in Matsunaga. Like, Matsunaga reminds him of a young version of him.
Yes. At one point, he talks about how when he was in medical school, he had this best friend who is across town, not in this shitty part of town, in the nice part of town, and has, like, a very lucrative business, and that man is rich doctor. Yes. But he talks about how they went different ways. That guy really studied, and he was out, like, chasing girls and drinking.
Yeah.
And so he kind of ruined it for himself as far as that goes. But at one point, our guy went to that rich doctor, the fancy doctor, and the fancy doctor said, no, go back to Dr. Sonata, because he's the expert. You need him.
Well, he finds out by giving him x-rays, and he hands him the x-rays. He's like, show this to Dr. Sonata. And he doesn't even bring him the x-rays until like
three visits
in, where he's like in real shit shape. So without them being told explicitly, Matsunaga's fellow Yakuza realize this guy has tuberculosis and he's a problem. And they actually set him up to be a fall guy, a sacrificial lamb. Or at least that's what they want him to be.
That's the plan
against a rival gang. But he's so fucking sick they can't even set him up for that. So they pretty much just like strip him of his status. And we find out that happens when because these gangsters, when they run this part of town, they can just go up to shops and just take shit. Mm-hmm. And he finds out his status is gone when he picks a flower and a young girl runs up to him and asks him for money.
Oh, yeah. Because before that, everyone's just like bowing to him kind of and waving him through. And he should not even be up and dressed and walking. But he was at the dance hall girl's apartment. And then she's now with Okada instead of him. And they basically kicked him out. Well, the doctor had gone there at some point. I don't remember exactly why, but now they're all mad at the doctor. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of one of those things where they might hurt the doctor if they see him. And our main guy is like, I got to get up and go talk to the boss. Like, I have to like vouch for you. They'll listen to me,
mm-hmm.
because you've helped me. You know, like I would put my life on the line for you because you've helped me. And then he goes to the big boss and walks in, and the big boss is having fucking tea with Okada.
Yeah.
And that's when he hears them say, we know he's got TB. We're just holding on until we can fucking, like, sacrifice him, basically, so that he can die honorably, I guess. What the fuck ever.
I mean, they just kind of throw the word around out of their own convenience, right?
Yeah.
So Matsunaga knows this is pretty much a dead end for him, but he's also has developed loyalty to the doctor who despite, like, the doctor every other day being like, fuck off, you won't listen to me. But he grows to respect the doctor as though he's a father, as well as the women who work with the doctor, because they also spend time taking care of him.
And there is a woman who works at the bar across the way who he's known for a very long time. And at one point, she tells the doctor that she doesn't give a shit about him. She's basically like, oh, every girl chases him, whatever, I don't care. But she actually is in love with him, and they talk to each other. And near the end, she's actually begging him, like, hey, let's get away out of town.
I know
that you don't have, like, I know they've taken your status from you. I'm not even supposed to talk to you or serve you right now. Let's go away. Let's go to my parents' village, and there's fresh air, and you can get better and be away from this, like, mess and stink and dirt.
This shithole. It's a literal shithole.
And they kind of make a deal.
The center of this movie is an actual shithole.
Literally. And they kind of make this deal that they might go tomorrow, but he doesn't make it.
Yeah. I mean, it's only a matter of time before they really try to kill him anyway.
I know.
So he goes and gets a blade, and he goes to look for Okada, and they end up in a knife fight. And I know, you know, Okada is an old man, but you figured you could throw down with a guy in, like, heavy stage tuberculosis a little better than this. But sure enough.
He's older, though. Okada's older.
Yeah. And sure enough, Okada finally, there's a long drawn out, and it's real. I mean, it's Kurosawa, so it's shot, like, amazingly well.
Yeah.
And the way he lets the scenes, like, just unfold. Everything's as patient as it needs to be. It pulls back their shots and movements, just taking up the whole room.
All the, like, across the swamp shots are gorgeous. There's this one part even at the end where he does, like, this aerial shot of the city. I don't know. It's just really cool.
I mean, there's a reason why this guy's probably one of the most beloved filmmakers in the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, Okada manages to pierce his side, and then we see Matsunaga flop on this balcony and, like, flop onto the roof. And that's when we know, like, he's pretty much dead. And so the lady who wanted to run off with him brings the ashes to the doctor, Dr. Sanada. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to spread the ashes. And Sonata's just so, he's really sad, but he doesn't know how to just be sad. He expresses his sadness through anger. So he's talking about how just completely upset with him he is. And, like, there's no forgiveness for a Yakuza. They're no good. But the ladies, I don't know. We know he's full of shit. We know he loved this guy.
He did.
He's saying he can't forgive him. But we know the reason he's so emotional about it is because he really did care about him.
And then his little high school patient walks up with her new x-rays, and she runs up and says, "You owe me a sweet." And she shows him the x-ray, and she is doing better.
Yeah.
And he actually offers to take the lady as well and says, "Hey, why don't you come with us? Like, why don't you," like, he's calmed down, you know? And he's like, "Why don't you come with us? I'll buy you a sweet too, like my treat." And she's like, no, I thank you, but I'm good. You know, like, she's still being sad. But he is really upset, but this girl kind of is the hope.
She's reminding him, like, no, you actually do good things.
You do good things. Yeah, it's hopeful. Like, there's still, you actually do accomplish shit. Absolutely.
But yeah, that's
they walk off arm in arm.
That's Drunken Angel from 1948 by Akira Kurosawa. A very simple, solid classic Japanese film noir. Yakuza noir, as they call it. And yeah, you're going to give 1 through 5. I'm going to give 1 through 5 combined for best out of 10. I kind of love this movie, and I love the characters are so rich. Mm-hmm. And I love Dr. Sonata. Like, he's really is a wonderful character.
I think I read that he did over 30 films with Kurosawa.
Sure. And of course, Mifune did,
oh my
what,
gosh,
90% of his movies,
and
right?
And we have talked about him before.
Yeah, he was in Sword of Doom. He was the veteran samurai that everyone respected from the Sword of Doom. And I mean, Mifune, he's...
He's a star.
Many books have been written about that guy. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm going to give this a 4.75.
I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Cool. That makes it an S-tier movie. Akira Kurosawa.
It is an S-tier movie.
Yeah.
Definitely is.
Here you go. Snuggled nicely between Double Indemnity and John Carpenter's Halloween, Akira Kurosawa's Drunken Angel from 1948 is an S-tier movie. And we got one last film noir for our month we're calling The Left-Hand Endeavor. We're going out on one of the more iconic gangster actors of all time, James Cagney, which in a movie that kind of encapsulates his entire career leading up mm-hmm. to this point. So come back to us tomorrow for the film White Heat by Raoul Walsh. And that will end our theme for the month. And then we will go into next week, which we will be, well, we will be discussing the last of Lars von Trier's Europa trilogy. And then getting right in to our April theme of awkward laughter. We did an awkward laughter last year. This was around when we were starting the show, and we didn't get into a consistent pattern like the way we are now. And we talked about some slapstick comedies, Naked Gun, Hot Shots, Loaded Weapon 1. But so this is our first time coming back to a theme we've done before.
Mm-hmm.
And this time there will be so much more movies than we discussed for Awkward Laughter last
year. Oh, definitely.
But the Awkward Laughter theme is the flop. Awkward Laughter, the flop. We're talking about comedies from going from the late 80s to the late 2000s that hit the theater but did not make the money back. You know, at least in the initial box office, didn't make quite the money that they expected. And this could be a month of what is considered a lot of underrated movies. Some of these will have become cult classics over
yeah.
time. And some of these movies are just infamously known to be bad movies by the critics. But are they really bad movies? After decades, we will re-examine these films. But strange flop comedies. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to get into it.
I also wanted to say, happy hump-iversary. We totally missed it. February 26th marked a year of us dropping
this on February 26th?
I just looked it up. Our very first video was on February 26th of 2003.
Our drops were so spread out at that point. It wasn't until we hit June
I know
that we were really like in our structure as we're at now.
I know, but the story of the Kelly Gang, February 26th.
Wow.
I know.
So we passed a year.
We passed a year. We need to schedule our Humpies episode.
Ugh. Maybe. We'll have to figure out a time for that. But anyway, check the show notes for links, other places to find us. Like and subscribe. Leave a comment. We appreciate that. Correction.
Mm-hmm.
And fun facts, whatever you want. And supposing we get the fuck out of here.
Supposing we do.
You're on the other side. Drunken Angel. You're on the other side.